Acts chapter 19, verse 1. This is an incredible passage of scripture in terms of defending the doctrine of the baptism in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But that'll come through in the message, but it's not my full assignment this morning. But let's just have a look. Acts chapter 19, it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples." Somebody say disciples. Disciples. It's important you know these people know Jesus. They're born again, saved by the grace of God. They're believers. The Bible even says they're believers. He says in verse 2, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." That's a, excuse me, that's an incredible response right there. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? You got saved. Did you get filled with the Holy Ghost? We didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. It's not that they didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. They didn't know that there was a Holy Ghost available to them. And I'm afraid of that right across the church world today. I'm not being critical. I'm not being smart. I'm not elevating us as Pentecostal charismatics above everyone else. However, we are right. But it's just, I'm humble. First church in scripture was Pentecostal, so I want to stick with how it started. But here's the deal. Just while I'm on it, that is true. The first church was a tongue talking. They had fire on their head. They were speaking in tongues. They were drunk in the Holy Ghost. They were winning souls, seeing miracles. Oh, man, Jesus isn't coming back for a church less powerful than the one that he left. I got to stop yelling. But all over the sunny coast today, people are going to gather. And my prayer is that in every church that people gather in, they can know that there's a Holy Spirit. And he says this, he says, did you know there was a Holy, sorry, I've got to find my verse. He said, "Rabba hasandara babosha." Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? They said, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Ghost." And he said to them, "Into what then when you baptize?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, how does faith come? By hearing. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. If you have a King James, it says the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. They weren't 12 years of age. There was 12 of the men. But it says when Paul laid hands on them, that's impartation. The Holy Ghost came upon them, that's demonstration. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied, that's manifestation. Impartation is the Holy Ghost from you. Demonstration is the Holy Ghost through you. Manifestation is the Holy Ghost in you. I feel like often in church environments, we're comfortable with a bit of impartation. We get a bit nervous with demonstration. And sadly, that means there's not often manifestation. I want the Spirit from my own wells flowing out. I want the Spirit of God flowing through me. And I want to see the Holy Spirit touching people. And they manifest the power of God. The Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit profits all. So if one guy over there is getting a word of prophecy or the Spirit of God's coming on them, then faith rises in the house of God. A prophet is expedient and God does something. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost came upon them. And this story is so amazing to me because you see a group of people in Ephesus who had found Jesus. They'd also experienced John's baptism. Now they got baptized again, proper, but they were believers. They were disciples. So they had a revelation of the gospel. They were saved. They hadn't yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of Christians that may know Jesus, but they are not walking in the fullness of the Holy Ghost. They're not experiencing God's power and God's anointing and the reign of heaven. And excuse me, sorry, I'm it's that Queensland air conditioning. It gets in you. But they There's a lot of believers that are a bit resistant to the power of the Holy Ghost, and a lot of it is just they don't fully understand. So, you know, maybe their fear or their lack of comfort or whatever it might be can put up some barriers. And I want to just try and remove some barriers today, just for those of you that either have got a bit of, you know, I'm not 100% sure about all this, or maybe you're here and you'd say, I am sure, but I want to have a bit of an idea of some of the things I can say to people about the Spirit of God and the anointing of God. And so here's a few reasons why people might resist the anointing or barriers to the power of the Holy Ghost. And I've already half explained my first thought, but number one, they don't know. How can you expect something if you don't even know it exists? How can you have an expectation for the power of God if you don't know? They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And I've heard people say, what you don't know can't hurt you. I've discovered what you don't know can hurt you. Because the Bible says you need to know the truth in order for the truth to set you free. Not just hearing, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We did not know there was a Holy Spirit. They were missing out on so much of what heaven had. The church at Ephesus exploded after this moment because something got turned on the inside of them, and they went from not knowing to knowing about the Holy Spirit. Paul says, don't be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now we can often in our English, modern English, put that into the text and look at it through that way. Like you could go, don't be ignorant. But it's not like, don't be ignorant. It's the true meaning of the word. Don't ignore. Or don't profess to know but not really want to know. And Paul says, don't be ignorant concerning the things of the Spirit. He says, you need to know. There's power in the knowing. How does faith come? Where the will of God is known. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. He said, out of your innermost being, he that believes on me, out of their innermost being will flow a river of living water. What we believe about the Holy Spirit will affect what the Holy Spirit does on the inside of us. Because we don't have faith to receive if we don't believe that that's what God wants to do. And so sometimes we can kind of go, well, whatever happens, happens. No, I want to have a faith for something that comes where I know the will of God in my life. And Paul said, did you receive when you believed? We didn't know. And they had a conversation. And then Paul laid his hands on them. Then the Holy Ghost came upon them. Then they spoke in tongues. I love that. Because there's three parts that he laid his hands. Boom. Something's happening. I don't know. How do they know the Holy Ghost came upon them? What were they doing? I don't know, but there was a moment where Paul didn't say, he laid his hands, they spoke in tongues. He said he laid his hands, then the Holy Ghost came on them. I'd love to just sit in that spot for a little bit. What did that look like? What were they doing? I know in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost came upon them, fire came on their head and they were staggering around. Something was happening. I love it when the Holy Ghost comes on somebody. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, it's recognizable. You know when the Spirit of God comes on you. If I got on the Bruce Highway and stood in front of a bus, you know when a bus has run you over. When you get up, you walk different. You talk different. What happened? I stood in front of a school bus on the Bruce Highway. And when you get filled with the dunamis of heaven, you know. It's recognizable. It's a recognizable condition. And he says, glory to God. He says, don't be ignorant. You need to know. Number two. Number one, we didn't know. That's a hindrance to receiving from heaven. Number two, this is the big one. This is what a lot of Aussies do. I think we're all a bit guilty of this when it comes to a lot of the things of God. Number two, I'm not putting condemnation or guilt on you at all, but it's something I think we can default to a little bit. Number two is this word if. If the Holy Spirit wants to touch me, he can. I find if is often a way of taking no responsibility for our part in connecting with God. If God really wants me to go and be an evangelist, you know, he'll make me. God doesn't make anyone do anything. If is such a, you've got to be careful that our apathy is not laced with the word if. There was a man that came to Jesus in the book of Luke. Sorry, in Jesus was speaking in the book of Luke, rather. He said, I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And there was a man in Matthew chapter 8, and the Bible says that he had leprosy, and he said to him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He said, I am willing. And right there, he took if out of the equation. There was no more if. He said, I am. We need to lose the if, because God doesn't operate in if. He says, I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, not those who say if. I was preaching in Boise, Idaho years ago. Boise. Boise or Boise? I don't know. I didn't take the time to learn the name. So I was preaching in Boise, Idaho, and I was preaching at this young adults event years ago. I was preaching on Naaman dipping in the water 7 times. And this young guy, he was the number one receiver for the Boise State Broncos, which was college football. They'll get 80,000 people at those games. He was sponsored by Nike. He was on the fast track to it all, and you know, he would come to this church because it was, you know, good atmosphere socially, and you know, some good teaching. But he'd been warned against the power of the Holy Ghost stuff, and told, you know, you don't necessarily need all of that, and so he kind of came to the church and didn't enter into worship, but he'd be there. He had a good attitude and everything. But that night, I didn't even know this was happening, but he starts shaking under the power of God. And so the pastor, who's now pastoring a great church in Orange County, it's booming, his name's Mark Francie. The pastor says to me, do you mind if we take this guy Chris out for supper and let's talk to him about the Holy Ghost? So I said, sure. So we go to supper. And while we're there, we drive there and we park in this multi-level car park. So we're like on level 2 by the lift. And we go to dinner, and so I'm trying to talk about the Holy Ghost because the pastor's asked me to. And he keeps ignoring the subject, talking about something else. So I just couldn't get this. So we finally start walking back to the car, and I said, Chris, what do you think of this Holy Spirit stuff? And he says, well, if God wants to do something, I guess he can. And it was the first time I'd ever said it. I'd never thought about it before. I guess you got the word in you, so it comes out. I said, Chris, God doesn't operate with if. He operates in faith. Right. Yeah, and so if you're sitting there going, if God wants to touch me, he says, I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Right. And so right there in the car park, we got to talking. So we're back at the car park by the lift at the landing, and there's a camera. And I said to him, let's pray. And Mark prays, we put his hand on him. Next minute, he starts falling back, and there's a camera. And I didn't want him to fall back. Well, there was a camera, because I'm a guest in the country. I don't want to get deported or, you know. So anyway, he's falling back, and I'm trying to hold him up. I became a Presbyterian all of a sudden. I'm like, none of this. No, 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 no. And he's trying to fall back. I'm holding him up. But then I thought, what am I doing? Boom, down he goes under the power right in front of the camera. I was freaking out a little bit. And this car drives past, sees him on the floor. I've never seen a car zoom off so quick in all of my life. And then the next minute, I hear him on the ground. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I love it. But what happened? He just took the if out of the equation and he swapped the if for faith. You might be here going, if God wants to heal me, I guess he can. No, touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. You might be here going, man, if God wants to touch me, I guess he can. No, you need to say, I'm not going to leave this place the way I came in Jesus' name. You might be saying, oh, if God wants to use me, no, make yourself available. Step out, join the dream team. Ho-ho! That's the answer to everything. Oh, man, I was happy this morning, but I'm preaching myself happy. There's too many iffy Christians out there, you know. Oh, well, God wants to use me, I guess he'll tell me. Now do something. Move. Take a step of faith. Believe God. I don't want to sit with if. I want to go to church in faith and say, God, today is my day of victory in the name of Jesus. Can you say a good amen?
Amen.
I mean, the other ones were still good. I just wanted you to continue. Here's another one. I've been put off. Maybe
You wanted to speak in tongues once. You came forward and the preacher said, say banana 500 times. I guess you're up in Sunshine Coast. Maybe they said, say Malulaba 500 times. Or Toowoomba, ba 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 ba. I don't know. But maybe you went to an altar and you came hungry and someone just did something weird, or you came to church and someone was weird, and so you've gone, you know, I don't want that because that person's weird. Let me say something about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not weird. People are weird. And you might go, yeah, but it's because they're full of the Holy Ghost. No, they were weird before. It's a fact. If they were Baptists, they'd be weird. If they were Salvation Army, they'd be weird. If they were Anglican, they'd be weird. But guess what? They came to Pentecostal church, got dunamis, and so their weirdness is just a little more obvious. And can I say, I think it's incumbent on us as Spirit-filled people not to just be weird, but to be naturally supernatural. Just let God work through us. I find sometimes people do get a bit strange. I mean, I went to a church once, and this woman comes up to me and says, I have something for you. I said, what's that? I was hoping she'd give me a gift card or something. It wasn't a gift card. She goes, Shalama, Shalama. She said, do you receive that? I said, no. She said, why? I said, because I'm very uncomfortable right now. Might have been put off. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I've had all kinds of weird things happen. I've been prayed for. I've been pushed down, thrown down. I had one guy come up to me at a church a few months, maybe a couple of years ago, and he puts his hand, no, it was like 2021, he puts his hand on me like this, and he just gets, and I look down, he'd spat all over my vest. And so you go, did you receive something? I don't know. I was so bothered by that. I got another one. This one's my favorite. It's not as funny as that one. You can all relate to that one, can't you? They say in every family there's one weirdo. And if you think there isn't one in your family, that's you. Fortunately for me, there's plenty of weird people in my family. Number four, here's another reason people don't go after the power of God. Now, I'm not just talking about the baptism in the Spirit. I'm talking about the whole supernatural lifestyle. Another reason people don't go after it, number four, is they say, well, I already speak in tongues. I already speak in tongues. So then there's an idea that, well, I don't need it. I don't need anything else. I speak in tongues. Well, I don't need to go forward for the Holy Ghost. I'm a tongue talker. Now, speaking in tongues is the sign that you've been filled with the Spirit. Is this mic getting louder or am I getting quieter? If you pull it, otherwise it'll end up back here and then I'll be... I know it's me. My church are done with how I hold the microphone. The sound guys, they quit every month. We got... Now AI is doing it. Also prepared this sermon too. Very good. ChatGPT. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. Pastor John's last night, on the other hand, that's it. No. How good was last night's message? If you came last night sick, I guarantee something happened supernaturally. Some people say, I already speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not a sign that you are currently full. It's a sign that you've been filled. Paul himself writes in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, be being continually filled. Now, if you look at the life of Peter was present when Jesus blew on his disciples. Well, he actually didn't blow on them. He breathed on them. So he breathes on his disciples. He goes... Hey, I'm a literal. the Bible, these stories don't need interpretation. He breathed on his disciples. We stopped that during COVID for a while, but it's time to bring it back. Obviously, Rod's had enough. Sorry, Rod. I saw that. Peter was filled with the Spirit. Well, firstly, Jesus breathes on his disciples. Peter's there. Receive the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts chapter 2, Peter's in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he sees miracles, the hand of God, he preaches Pentecost. But then in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, so he's filled again. In Acts 4:31, they were forbidden by the Sanhedrin to mention Jesus, so they prayed. Verse 31 of Acts 4, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And look at this, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter got filled, he got filled again. He got filled again. Some people go, oh, those people that respond to the altar calls all the time. Yeah, I'm one of those. Why? Because there's power. I want to keep coming back. In Acts chapter 2, people don't realize when the church was praying for Peter's miraculous escape from prison in Acts chapter 12, where did Peter go? The minute he was got out of prison supernaturally, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. It's widely believed that that's the upper room. He keep coming back to his place of encounter with God. I just don't want barriers. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Pastor Danielle shared that around communion. Repent, the Bible says. Goes on to say that times of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord, times of revival. I already speak in tongues. Well, have another drink. Jesus said, come unto me and drink. He didn't say, come unto me and think. He said, come unto me and drink. Another reason we miss out on the Holy Spirit is we don't yield. I think, Pastor John, this sermon has come out of, and there's a lot to it, but it's come out of my desire to somehow equip the next generation who haven't seen moves of God, who haven't grown up in revivals, to teach them just how to receive from heaven, how to let God come on us. Another thing that stops people is preconceived ideas. Remember Naaman? He wanted his healing, and Gehazi, not even the prophet Elisha, Gehazi says, go and dip in the river 7 times. He was offended. He said, no, surely he'd come out and wave his hand over me. And so he got offended rather than going after the miracle. And I think preconceived ideas can stop us. I would say to the older generation that have seen moves of God, don't limit your hunger for the next thing based on the paradigm of the old. Because even in Acts chapter, I think it was Acts 11, reflecting on Acts 10, Peter says the Holy Spirit fell just like he did at the beginning. It was different. He fell on the Gentiles. It was a different move of God, but it had the same DNA as the first. And I think that's what God's doing on planet Earth. There's a new anointing. There's a new move. It has the same flavor. It's got a reminiscence, so we know. It's got that same thread of God's anointing and God's power. But God wants to move and do things. But I think preconceived ideas can keep God in a box. We've got to say, God, however you want to move. But I'm going to circle back to yielding, then I'm going to close. When I got my license, which I did. I got my license in 1997. I was just a young man then. And my driving instructor, he says to me, he says, it shows me what a stop sign is, so you know what a stop sign is. Stop. Just a couple of years ago, I didn't see a stop sign and I went through it. But the cop pulled me over. And he goes, do you know there's a stop sign there? I said, sorry, officer, I just always pull out of here. And he goes, well, do you know there's a stop sign? I said, yeah. He goes, did you stop? I said, no. I said, but I did hesitate. And he said, well, does the sign say hesitate? I said, no, but in fairness, officer, it probably should. I don't think it should be a stop sign. It should be a hesitate sign. And he said, you're a very funny man. And he let me off. But I was getting my driver's license, and the driving instructor tells me about the stop sign, and he never prepared me for the number of roundabouts that you have between here and Noosa, but there's a lot of them. They could have just done a freeway, be a lot quicker, but no, they did roundabouts because Noosa think they're better. If you're from Noosa, probably a lot of jealousy talking more than anything. It's very nice. So, but he tells me about the stop sign, tells me all the different signs. He says, give way. It was like a stop sign, but it's different. And he goes, stop sign, you stop. Give way, you don't have to stop. But if you're going to jump into a different flow of traffic, you can't disrupt that flow of traffic. You've got to speed up to get in. And it's a good reminder for some of you. Give way does not mean ruin the day for everyone else. It means if you can get in, get in. If not, wait. There's a flow. You've got to get into that flow. So I went to America. This is the end of my message. Rod's obviously hungry. So then I get to America. I'm just a young fella. And they have give way signs in America, but they don't say give way. They say yield. So I used to go to these like Rodney Howard Brown meetings or even a Phil Pringle meeting. Pastor Phil, you got to yield to the Spirit of God, man. It's like I felt that come over my right shoulder. Did you feel that? I'm like, yep. I felt a lot of things in Pastor Phil preaches. Drunk, touched, fire, miracle, healing, breakthrough, all at the same time. But yield to the Holy Ghost. You got to yield to the Spirit of God. I remember sitting in a Rodney Howard Brown meeting, and he's going, you got to yield to the Spirit of God. And I'm yielding. I don't know how to yield, so I'm trying to squeeze. It's not how you yield. Some people think you go, you don't have to strain. You just say, God, I yield to your Spirit. I ask you by faith, would you touch me? And so I get to America, it says yield, and I have this same thought. Don't interrupt that flow. If there's a flow, you've got to jump into that flow. Don't stop the flow. So there's a flow of the Holy Spirit. There's a flow of God's anointing. I don't want to disrupt that flow. I want to jump into the flow of the mighty Holy Ghost and say, Spirit of God, would you come? Would you touch me? Would you fill me today? Lose the preconceived ideas. I think sometimes when we use the word if, it's very cleverly, even we might not even realize it, but it's a bit of pride there. Going, you know what, I don't know, but I want to be hungry for the anointing of God. One touch of the power of Almighty God. And I just wonder if we can stand. We've got just a couple of minutes left in the service. I'm going to pray for two groups of people. Here's the deal. I know like people go to Sunday morning church and love it, but Sunday nights when it's like a revival night, they're the best nights to come. Let your kids see the power of God. Come hungry, come in faith. So you might not be planning to come, but I've Googled what's on TV tonight. You've got Antiques Roadshow. You've got Big Bang Theory. Sheldon's facing some challenges, and apparently, according to the synopsis, he's going to bury them in the bottle, but realize that that's not going to work out for him. So you might get a rerun of Seinfeld. I think if you go to like Gem or one of those, you've got Home and Away. I'd love you to come tonight because we're going to lay hands on people. It's not a restraint like there is on a Sunday morning. We've got to get people out. There's people watching online. Tonight, it's just like anything can happen. And so I want to talk to the Pentecostal in you that used to come Sunday night. So I'm believing there's going to be Sunday night revivals all over Australia where night church, you know what? Let me tell you why night church is so important. Some people go, well, I go Sunday morning. Night church, that's when visitors come. And often night church services, they don't really grow. They just feed into a Sunday morning. And you walk into a Sunday night service that's vibrant and alive. What it does for the growth of a church is amazing. And I'd even challenge some people that might have gone, you know what, I used to do that. Life's a bit busy now. I encourage you, why don't you just sort of rejig some things and get back to being found in here. Because I tell you, especially in a church like this, that's a Holy Ghost supernatural church, you get a Sunday night starting to boom and roll in here, it becomes a momentum generating supernatural thing. So that's just, I'm a pastor. I'm just saying to you what I'd love to say to my guys. We just tell them, if you don't come Sunday night, we're adding tithe tax. It's 12%. No, I'm just being silly. I just want you to take a minute and lift your hands to God.